I've asked Ramona if she'll sing, and I know there's a soundtrack, but we can't sing it with a soundtrack on Facebook. So she's going to sing it a cappella. Come on, Ramona. This is one she used to sing with her dad a lot.
If you knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, and pain. But the Master promised sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. To invest your seed of trust in God, in mountains you can't move. You have risked your life on things you cannot prove. But you give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose is the way to find the joy God has for you. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight.
Okay, thank you. Amen. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. There's not anything that is more beautiful than what we're going to know in eternity when we're in the presence of God. I stood one time beside the bedside of a man who was in his 90s, and he had been a pastor, a bishop of the Church of God in the state of, I don't know what state anyway, but he became under our leadership, and my husband was pastoring, and we went to be with him, and he was leaving this world. And you know, as he was leaving this world, he looked up, and he called the name of a baby that they had lost at birth. And that baby, he called her by name, and he said, "I see you, I'm coming." And so we will be reunited. We will know as we are known. And I thought it was very interesting that he saw her. There were other people that had gone before, but he saw that little girl that died at birth. At that time, I think the cord was around her neck, and they didn't have the medical ability or the knowledge of how to take care of that. If they hadn't had it during some of my children, one of them wouldn't be here today because I had one that had the cord around his neck, and the doctors just, he took care of it. But anyway, so we're going to see those that we have lost. We call it lost. They've moved, they've graduated, and we miss them here, but they don't miss us because they are in the presence of God. Ramona, I'm going to dismiss you with your kids to go. And that form, those forms at the back, that is a list for youth camp. If you'll just pick that up and take it, you can fill that in too, please. Today I want to talk about standing firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. And before I do, I'm going to just acknowledge the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have asked him to be here, and you have prayed, and I thank God we can depend on his anointing because, as I have said before, I'm only a channel, a vessel. I'm not anybody. I told my husband when he was, before he died, and he said, carry on, and I said, not a chance. I wouldn't do that, but here I am, and I'm only a channel. I want you to know that it's God, the Holy Spirit, that quickens his word to us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, we come to you now, thanking you for your anointing. Thanking you, Lord, that you give us the ability to do those things that we are not perhaps qualified for, but you qualify us. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint my lips to bring this message, and you will let it sink into our hearts, that you cause our minds to retain it. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. Stand firm in the faith. The United States of America and the rest of the world is racing full speed toward judgment because they have scorned and defied God's laws. They've ignored it. They are killing our babies through abortion. And you say, well, and that's a major thing that is sways the vote based on that. But it is not acceptable to God. And they are embracing sexual perversion as if it were natural and acceptable to God. Our country is saying, somebody told me this week, said, do you realize that, and then I think someone else told me, well, that's been going on for a while, but it's getting even stronger, that the government positions, companies are saying, we will not hire somebody who is a Christian because they will not go along with the agenda. And we're in a state of a condition in our nation today that makes us very sad as Christians. Even the church is being deceived into believing that God overlooks and endorses sin because he's a loving God. He is a loving God. That's why he corrects us. If I saw my little child or grandchild running across the street and there's a semi-truck coming, and if I would say, oh, no, well, I'm not going to correct. I'm not going to hold him back. After all, he's free to do as he pleases. But God is a loving God, and he corrects us as he says, don't make that choice. It is against the laws of God. It is against even nature. Well, he is a loving God, but God's message to the church today is the same as it was in the book of Revelation 2:5. I read there, it says, consider how far you have fallen. We have fallen far away from seeking after God. The church is not what it used to be. I'm not saying God has changed. He has not. But he says there, repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, he said, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus is the light that shines in darkness. I think of him as that lampstand. And you have heard the story said where, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but anyway, where the God said, I've never been in that church. I don't know anything about it. There are churches today that do not honor God, and I don't think the Holy Spirit even goes there because he's not exalted, he's not praised, and he's not worshiped because God is not going to be where the things of the world are present and we're not surrendering to him. I believe, personally, I believe that the goal of the government-controlled educational system, its purpose is to separate children from their parents, to alienate them from the council of parents. Their message is parents don't understand you, so don't confide in them. Don't tell them about it. I have heard testimonies of young people, children, who have been abused and molested for years, and they've been told, don't tell it. Don't tell it. I'm going to tell you, our parents and children need to be joined together. God is the one who gave you parents, and you don't need to confide in other people. You need to confide in those that love you and are following the Lord. Godless teaching fills our youth with a sense of worthlessness and confusion about the value and sanctity of life. The godless teaching says that life is not important. How many times do you hear about a young person who is considering suicide? They talk about it, and the others will say, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead. And people are taking their lives, young people, children. I read the story even about a five-year-old who committed suicide. What's going on in our nation and in our world? But David said in Psalm 139, 14, I praise you, God, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You may compare yourself to somebody else, but God does not compare you to somebody else. You are individually made in His image, in His likeness. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created He them. We're made in God's image, male and female. That's how He created us. And nothing we can do and no imagination can change that. You can think and dream that it can be changed, but it cannot. God created us to be who He wants us to be. When Samuel anointed Saul to be king of Israel, Samuel gave Saul a word from the Lord. And when he anointed him in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, he said, if you fear the Lord and serve and obey Him, and I think we can apply that to our lives today even, and do not rebel against His commands, good. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against His commands, His hand will be against you. He is a loving God, but if we do not go by His commandments, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 2 years after Saul was given that message from God, Saul disregarded God's law and offered the burnt offering that only Samuel was to offer. He presumed to take the position of a priest, and it was not his place to do that. But we read in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, Saul said to the men, he got a little bit uptight because Samuel was not there yet, and they were facing an enemy. We face enemies in our lives, but we still trust the Lord. We can't take it in our own hands to solve the problem. Now, we do what God tells us to do, but He is the one. And so Saul became anxious, and he said, bring me the burnt offering, the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. What was his attitude? Samuel said, what have you done? Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering, when I saw that they were confused, and that you did not come at the set time, he's making excuses, I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. We make excuses sometimes for the things that we do, the choices that we make, but there is no excuse. God has told us how we're to live and what we're supposed to do, and He wants us to abide by that. Samuel said, you have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. And then we read on down later, after he disobeyed, he didn't follow other commands that Samuel told him, destroy the enemies, and Saul didn't do it. He decided that he would keep what he wanted to keep, and he changed it. And so the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And he said, I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. You see, he was to be the leader. And sometimes in our lives, people always are looking at us and we are a leader. And if we choose not to be obedient to God's word and we choose to do things that will cause somebody to stumble, God says, I'm going to take you out of the way. I'm not saying he's going to kill you. I'm saying he's not going to let you be that leader and have that influence like he wants you to have if you don't obey him. And so he said, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. God does not change his mind. What he says, he stands by. He is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned. But listen, Was that repentance or that confession really from the depths of his spirit? No, because he said, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Don't let them know that I've done this. Honor me. I want to look good in their sight. That's the way many people are today. It's not whether or not I've obeyed God, but I want to look good to other people. I want to look like I'm walking with God. God holds us accountable. How many people will we impact or influence in our lives, for better or for good or bad? In Hebrews, the writer says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. He said, don't think it has changed. Today there are people that explain away the Word of God and the character of God, and they say, yes, but, and they interpret it to embrace their sin. I think of a young man that was a friend of my husband's, and he explained in the Bible, he explained away to the point that he could say it was all right for him to be a homosexual. Because the world, oh, after all, and he could explain, you can take the Bible, you can twist it and make it say what you desire it to say. But I'm telling you that it doesn't make it true. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bob, would you turn the fans on, please? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, James says, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He does not change in just the least bit, not a shadow of turning. He is exactly as he's always been. When he gave the Ten Commandments, it told us his holy character and who he was, what he was like. And then I look at, the church no longer blushes at sin. Instead, it blushes and is ashamed to bow before the Creator, God. We are afraid of offending someone, so we make compromises and softly excuse sin. When we are in a place where somebody's telling a filthy joke, something, we're just going to kind of laugh with it. We don't want to be the person that's not accepted. I want to be accepted by Jesus. I want to be accepted by God. And we, the church, need to make no compromise with our faith. We need to stand faithful and true to what we believe. And what the Word of God says. Not just what we believe that it says, but what it says. In Daniel, the first chapter, we read about when Daniel was a captive in Babylon. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. Now, he was captured. He was taken when he was just a child, just a young person. And he said he didn't want, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was bold enough to say, I don't want to eat that's been offered to idols. I don't want to eat the king's meat. I don't want to drink the king's wine. Let me go without. And of course the guy in charge said, you just don't know what you're saying. And you know the story how that he said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and we'll see at the end of this period of time when the king, you go before the king, how you look. Well, they looked better than any of the others. The three Hebrew children and Daniel looked better than the others because they did not partake of the sin. And I'm telling you, sin will make a mark on your life that will damage you physically. And then in the third chapter, we have the account of the three Hebrew boys, the young people that were taken. You see, the king Nebuchadnezzar captured, he took it into Babylon captivity, all of the young men that looked like the most handsome, the best looking, and made them into eunuchs so that they were totally dedicated to his service. But Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying that they were to bow down to this image that was made to honor, golden image that everybody had to bow down when the music played. But they told him these guys didn't bow. Somebody came and reported they didn't bow down to these three boys. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" And I want you to listen to this. And he says, "Now, if you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the music, the horn, the flute, harp, the lyre, psaltery, in symphony, all kinds of music, when you hear this and you fall down and worship this image which I have made, good," he told them. Now, this is a man who has the power to destroy them, but he doesn't have power without God's allowing it. He said, "But if you don't worship, you're going to be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you from my hands?" There may be people to say, who is your God that he requires of you this, or he gives you this conviction within in you? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, this is what I want you to listen to. He said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. It's not a great thing that we have to do. We have no problem answering you. We have no," he says, "if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Whether he delivers us from the fire, he's going to deliver us from your hand." He says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, I'm not cowering down. Let it, you know that we do not serve your gods." They took a stand when it could cost them their lives. There are people in other parts of the world, and even in the United States, I believe, that are taking a stand for the faith that they possess, for Christianity. But some of us, the church today as a whole, has cowered down, and they're embracing things. I understand that I read a report that the Methodist Church has, United Methodist, has divided because some of them want to endorse and put pastors in that are gay, homosexual. God says that it's not acceptable. Some of them have left. And I say, good for them. Good for them. You know, my grandfather, my mother's father, was a Methodist, but I'm going to tell you what, he was a fiery, on fire for God Methodist. Do you know why they named them Methodist? Because their methods of worship were out, just crazy. Their methods, they might dance, they might be slain in the spirit, but they might, they said their methods are crazy, but we have allowed the devil to just water down, and we think it's acceptable. It is not. I'm reminded of the old hymn that perhaps you know and maybe you don't. It says, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. I'm not going to linger. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him. I will hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee." We need to make a resolve that we will serve the Lord and make no compromise. He said, "I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife." He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. "I am resolved, and who will go with me? Is my testimony such that I can't bring anybody to Christ? I hope not. Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way." What a beautiful hymn that we don't hear sung anymore, a good old hymn that was written years ago. But "I am resolved not to linger charmed by the world's delights." If we linger, like Joseph when he was tempted by the Potiphar's wife, and she said, come on, you know, nobody knows. If he had lingered, if he had tried to explain, perhaps he would have fallen, but he did not. He ran, and we need to get out of the place when there's sin that's going on. We get away from it. Daniel continued to pray, although he knew he would be thrown into the lion's den. You remember there was an edict? He was a very old man at this time. And did he stop praying because of the threat? No, he did not. Esther did not. And, of course, we know the story. Daniel was thrown into the den, and the lions, their mouths were shut. And the ones who had accused him, they threw them in the den, and the lions ate them, grabbed them when they were in midair, and tore them to pieces. God, our God, if we will honor him, he will honor us. Esther risked her life when she went before the king. Remember how that Mordecai said, who knows but that you're come to this time in your life, especially for this purpose. I'm telling you that who knows but what God has put you where you are. You've come to this place in your life, especially for the purpose that he has for you. And so Esther said, at first she said, I cannot go because if he doesn't call me, I mean, I could be killed. If he doesn't call me, and he hasn't called me for a long time. I wonder, does God sometimes test us or allow us to be tested? Because she said, the king hasn't called for me to come into his presence. And now then, you want me to go? This could cost me my life. But she said, I will go, even though it's against the law, because she had them fast and pray with her. And she said, I will go, and if I perish, I perish. Well, of course, she did not perish. It was the key to the deliverance of all of the Jewish people. They were going to be destroyed, killed. But because now the king could not change that edict. He could not change the order that they were to be killed. But now he gave them the right to get weapons and to fight back. Well, you can't fight against God's people. They have a weapon that is different and stronger than any worldly weapon. Joseph, at 17 years of age, betrayed by his brothers and thrust into a heathen society. It didn't seem fair. Sometimes things in our lives don't seem fair. We wonder, why has God forsaken me? Why has the people I've loved and that should love me have turned against me? But he was resolved to trust and honor God. Although it seemed that everything and everyone, even God, seemed that he had opposed him. But Joseph stayed firm anyway. Even when the guy, the butler, failed to remember him, 2 years passed when Joseph was in that prison without a cause, and he said, don't forget me. The guy went on and he didn't do anything for 2 years until God gave Pharaoh the dream. And you remember how that Joseph came and interpreted it. God will honor you if you honor him. And then when the brothers later, his identity was revealed, they were afraid and they shook in their boots, so to speak. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Some things that come in our lives, God means for good, but we don't see it till we look back on the picture. Let us remember that we are in covenant with God. Although the world wants to give us a new identity, God has called us by his name. If you claim his name, if you're a Christian, born again, then we don't embrace any part of the culture of this worldly philosophy. None of it. Leviticus, the 20th chapter, Moses told them that God says, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. We are to be holy before God in our strength, in our own doing. No, we are holy. He said, I've set you apart to be my own. God has set us apart to be holy. He's called us to be different from the world. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, Paul wrote, he said, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Now that means that we don't fellowship with those works of darkness. I didn't say that you act like you're stuck up and you don't speak. You, of all people, you are the most friendly. You are the most filled with love because you represent Jesus. But we don't have anything in common with this wickedness. It says, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? They don't mix. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said. He said, I will live with them and walk among them and will be their God, and they will be my people. I want him to walk among us. I want him to be present in our midst. I want it to be his people. I want to be his daughter. And you want to be that. Therefore, he said, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And he said, I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. That's what the Lord says, and he says that to us today. Let us not seek the identity of the world. We want to be far from it. We don't want to identify with the works of darkness, but rather let us seek to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. Understanding is not a prerequisite to obedience. When we read the Word of God and we read what God wants us to do, and his Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, David said, it is not that we don't always understand why his Word says that. Why did God say that? And sometimes I've heard young people say, well, if God really loves us, then he lets us do what, you know, we want to do. Understanding is not a prerequisite, even though children challenge this. It is obedience without understanding. If I tell my child, do this, you remember the story of the man whose son was on the big ship and he had to operate and raise the bridge so the ship could come through. And they weren't on the ship, they were the operators. And the man was teaching his son how to raise the lever so the ship could come. And the ship began to toot, and the boy did not raise, he wasn't operating. He forgot his father's instruction. The father said, what can I do? What can I do? My son is there. If I do not, he will also be destroyed if that ship goes through, because he's there where the lever's going to go up. Anyway, he made the choice. In obedience to God's word, he said, no matter what it costs me, I must be obedient to what God has called me to do. And that's what he says to us today. No matter what cost, whatever the cost, Lord, I want to be your willing servant. I don't want to identify and just go along with what some people say. Just trust your heart. Trust your heart. Really? Evil takes root in the heart, and then the mind justifies it. We can say, I just feel in my heart. I just know that. How many young girls, and probably men as well, have decided on a relationship, on marriage or a union or moving in together, whatever it is. I just feel in my heart. And it turns out that the person is not at all what you felt in your heart. The heart is desperately wicked. It says in Jeremiah, above all things, it's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot go by our feelings of our heart. We go by the Word of God. God has not called us to merge with or be sympathetic with every culture or with every religion, but God has called us to be a peculiar people, to be different. That means a peculiar. It means to be different, not identified the same. I see that when they change a hairstyle, pretty soon they got whatever. I don't want to pick on any particular thing because I know that God looks on the inside of us, but they... It seems like the young people, everybody, I got to be in move, got to be in that, you know. I've got to be in that situation. Somebody told me about my house, and I know that my house got a lot of junk that I need to clean up, go through things. But somebody said, you need to modernize it. Make the walls all white and make take all pictures off the walls. That's not in style anymore. I don't care what's in style. That's what I like. I like to see the people that I love displayed on my walls. And I like the cross of Jesus that I have there in the entryway that gives his names. He is wonderful. He is marvelous. I don't care what other people say. Now, I know that I do have some junk I need to go through. I'm not going to deny that. But I can be who I want to be. And God, what God calls us to be, we don't have to change everything to please others. So God hasn't called us to merge with the other religions and say, well, we've got to kind of change. I mean, after all, now then it's acceptable this or that. God has called us to be a peculiar people, to be different, separated unto Him for His purpose. That's what He means when He says peculiar. He means separated from the world for God's purpose. He can't use us unless we're separated unto Him. Satan uses people and the systems of this world to tell Christians that they're closed-minded, that they're unloving, they're prejudiced, they're ignorant and judgmental when they're faithful to God's Word. We get that told us, but didn't the Word of God say that that would come in the last days, that would happen? God's Word tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we read the Word of God, our mind is renewed, and we say, wow. When you read the Word, don't apply it to somebody else. Look at it and read it. How does it apply to me? I want to know because I want to be that peculiar person, that one that is different, conform to God's way. And then he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we read the Word of God and we hold our life accountable to that Word, then we know how to walk with Him. We know when something's wrong. We know when it's sin. We don't have to search and search and search and say, I got to find where it's okay. It reminds me of the guy that was looking for somebody to control or drive the chariot. Different people came and he said, okay, show me how you do and tell me about it. And the guy says, well, he says, I can get 1 foot from the edge of this precipice and not go over. That's how good I am. I control the horses. And the next guy went in and he says, well, I can come within 3 inches of it and not go over. And the last guy came in and he says, sir, I don't know how close I can get to the edge. I stay as far away as I can. And we need to be that way with sin. I don't want to say, how much can I get by with? And still, it's okay with God. I want to stay as far away from it as I can. I don't want to be one of those that compromises. But Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. What does it mean? Don't make any allowance. Don't make any crevice where you could stumble for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I'm saying to you, sin may appear to be desirable. And it may feel it desirable to a point. But it will leave you broken, and it'll take you farther than you wanted to go. It will separate one from God. Let our earnest prayer, in closing, I say, let our earnest prayer be, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, holy, tried and true. You know the little chorus that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lead it for us, Brother Tony. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. For you. That should be our prayer. Lord, make me a sanctuary, a place you can live in me. I don't have to have the bursts of anger when Jesus is in there. Jesus is different, and I want to be like Him. Amen. If you are somebody who has not given everything to Christ, you've made some compromises, I'm telling you that Jesus wants your whole life. He doesn't want you on the fence. He doesn't want half of you. He wants all of you. And as you give your life completely to Him, He will use you for His purpose, for His glory. Not like somebody else. We're all different. God uses us for His purpose. And so I pray today, as I pray that you will agree with me, as I pray today for you, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that goes and woos and encourages us to surrender our lives completely to you. Lord, I pray that you will help us make no compromise with sin, no compromise with the world, but to be completely, totally sold out to you. Would you make us a sanctuary, O God, that your presence can live in us and we can be a testimony to others. We want to be the kind of people that somebody will come and say, what is it that you have? I want what you have. God, give us more of your grace, of your love, and your understanding, and of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I thank you. We appreciate you joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you be blessed this week as you read the Word of God. His Word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. He'll show you what's right in front of you, and He'll show you what's ahead. And may you be blessed and follow His Word. The Lord bless you. Okay, is there anyone today that you want special prayer before we are dismissed? We don't want to, we did not in our concert prayer today. I know that you have been praying for Sister Richie and for her family members with the loss. It's not easy to turn loose of somebody that you've been so close to. Sometimes still, even though it's been 5 years, sometimes I throw my hand across the bed and say, God, why? I don't want to be alone. But you know what? God is still with me, and He said, I'll be a husband to you. I'll be a father to you. I'll be what you have need of. And so we pray, and let's continue to pray for Sister Richie and for her family as they're going through this difficult and, yes, time of rejoicing, too. And we know, I thought about it. I said, wow, boy, I tell you, I imagine they've got quite a concert going on. We've had some people that we've lost that have gone to heaven that were musical, just amazing musicians. And we have a wonderful musician. We sing unto the Lord, and that's wonderful. But we've had people, and I thought, boy, Lewis Keaton's up there singing with my husband, and now Pastor Richie, he probably can sing now, too. He's got the breath, huh? Yeah. So we thank God for the hope that we have. Is there anybody else that needs a special, anything that anyone wants to say?